Today's reading from Mark is nominally about the Sabbath and how it is to be observed, but is really about something else. But more of that later. The Sabbath originated in Genesis, in the creation story, where after working for 6 days on his creation, God rested on the seventh day. This idea was picked up in the Ten Commandments, where the fourth commandment says, "Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but on the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me. On that day no one is to work, neither you, your animals, nor the foreigners who live in your country. In 6 days, I, the Lord, made the earth, the sky, the seas, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, I rested. That is why I, the Lord, blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." This was meant to allow God's people a rest from continual toil, to spend time in relaxing and reflecting and spending time with others. As Jesus said in our reading, the Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. They were not made for the Sabbath. But unfortunately, it got interpreted as a commandment like the ones which followed it. And rules were developed about what constituted work and what was not allowed on the Sabbath, not about how to observe it as God had intended. Our story has Jesus and his followers travelling through some wheat fields, and some of the followers began to pick some heads of wheat, possibly for a snack or just idly playing with things nearby. But to the people who were following Jesus to make sure he was not being a problem, this was interpreted as work on the Sabbath, that is, harvesting a wheat crop. A fairly farcical interpretation of work, but apparently common. When they pointed this out to Jesus, he probably laughed. And he also pointed out far worse things that the revered David had done on the Sabbath. The second story has Jesus in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and a man with a paralyzed hand approached him for healing. Healing would have probably been interpreted by the law enforcers as work on a Sabbath. Aware of this, Jesus asks them, "What does our law allow us to do on a Sabbath? To help or to harm? To save one's life or destroy it?" They had no answer because their interpretation was all about what was not allowed. Jesus heals the man, and the law enforcers leave to plot the end of this annoying teacher and healer. So really, the stories are not about the Sabbath and its observance, but about what rules and laws had done to God's commandments and to his people. In their enthusiasm for their religion and its correct observance, the lawmakers had constructed a myriad of rules and standards for the people, which had become impossible to comply with. But in the process, they had overlooked or ignored the basis of their religion, which was a faith in a caring and creative God. And instead, they had come up with a demanding and punishing God. This was probably a problem for God, and realizing that the law hadn't worked by itself, God sent Jesus to reveal his true self and purpose. As Jesus said, I have not come to do away with the law, but to make its teachings come true. And in our stories, Jesus, representing the true God, keeps running up against those who have redefined God for their own purposes. This is an ongoing story which repeats itself through Jesus' life and ultimately leads to his death. So what does Jesus do in this dangerous situation where his every move is being judged? He actually goes about his business and confronts these people with the true God and backs it up with his extensive scriptural knowledge. Most times they were silenced and did not know how to respond because their narrow views would be exposed as not of God. So Jesus carried on, teaching and healing and confronting his critics, so that many people came to believe and follow him. But the pressure built up among those who opposed him. Jesus was completely different from those who ran the religion of his day. He questioned why certain rules or ideas were in place when the revelation of God's purpose was quite different. At one time he said, "The law says this, but I say this or that," as he reinterpreted the law as it was intended. He built up a picture of his Father, the true God, which was very different to what the church of the time held to be true. And that was why people followed him and eventually became a different faith community. Despite the powerful message from Jesus and the Spirit of God to guide, the Christian church has continued to get drawn into the old rules and behaviour-based approach. For example, Paul had a lot of trouble with the Jerusalem-based leaders in accepting the need for his mission to the Gentiles and his opposition to the need for circumcision for new converts. Over the years, horrible things were done in the name of Christianity. The Crusades, the Inquisition, all with Christian concurrence, apartheid, the fight against the Enlightenment and science, and the place of women and the people of colour in the church. Currently, as a prime example, the Christian or evangelical right in America has established itself as the moral authority. It focuses almost entirely on sex-based issues like contraception, abortion, homosexuality, with virtually no mention of Jesus and his way of life and love for all. It has now established itself as a political force and is integral to the Republican Party's base. Many are led to vote that way because of the Christian tag. But is it really Christian? We have similar examples here. I suggest we don't take a Christian label to mean that an organisation is about Jesus and his way. It is possibly about something else. I also get very disturbed about the misappropriation of the Christian label by mainly conservative organisations who fail to recognise the diversity and breadth of Christian faith in the country. We have to guard our faith of life and love from those trying to narrow it. So what was so different about Jesus, his life and message? And how did Paul carry this forward? Instead of being controlled by laws and enforcers, Jesus based his way on several completely different approaches to God. He was about relationship, a personal relationship for each of us with our Father God, nourished by prayer and a faith that God loves us and will take care of us in all things. Jesus was about love, not rules. Love one another as I have loved you. He was about caring and healing and helping people out of their difficulties, not rituals or observances. Jesus was about life, our lives enriched by a close relationship with the Father God and our friends, empowered and guided by the Spirit of God within us. Abundant life in God's kingdom is his promise. It was not about rules or orders or correct behaviour. Jesus was about sharing the good news of Jesus with those we come across, and also our time and our belongings shared for the common good, not about accumulation for ourselves. How did Paul see this happening out in the Gentile world? Our reading from 2 Corinthians gives us a clear idea of what Paul's priorities were. In spite of the pressures upon him by those who wished to tone him down, to Paul, it was all about preaching Christ first, not about self-promotion or appearances. It was based on being a servant to Christ and to those he was ministering to. And what he was doing was living in and reflecting the light of Christ in his life and to those around him. He likened it to being common clay pots, nothing special. But these empty pots were being filled with the life and spirit of Christ. And because he saw himself as a common clay pot, he could preach and serve with humility and not pride, not expecting a special or smooth ride through life, but being rewarded by living in the powerful life of Christ and sharing it around. This is a very good guide to how we should live our Christian lives, not being rule makers or enforcers or having narrow views on all things, but being open to the Spirit of God within. May the Spirit of our loving God guide you and give you the strength to live as Jesus did, not constrained by the opinions and the rules of others. Amen.